Let's read together now Revelation chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And then follows this morning's sermon text. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Who shall be able to stand? That's in connection with the events that are described here in Revelation 6, verses 12 and following. Who shall be able? Question should be for each of us a very personal question. Should be for each of us the question, I stand. When these things, and how will I know I will stand when these come to pass? When the heaven departs as a scroll, when every mountain and island moved out of their places, when the sun is blood, how can I be sure that I stand in that day? That's the question that we want to answer this morning. Not just as an abstract question, but for ourselves. The events that are described here in Revelation 6, beginning with verse 12, very, very clearly have to do with the end of the world of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think that there ought to be any doubt about that. Even a child reading these verses would understand that this is a description of the last day of the world in which we live. And not only a description of the end of the world and of the coming of Jesus, but of the fact that that's all the action to the final judgment. We're reminded of that great day of judgment, especially in verses 16 and 17, which speak of the wrath of the Lamb and of the great day of His wrath. And the reference, without doubt, is to that great day of judgment when God in Christ judges the world in righteousness, and renders to every man according to his work. And of course, what we read here is all the more significant, important, in light of the fact that we've just come to the end of another year, and that year has brought us all that much closer to the fulfillment of what we read here in Revelation 6. The opening of the sixth seal and what it reveals of the end of the world, the coming of Christ, and the great day of His wrath. Standing. That's what that question at the end of this passage is about. Standing in that day means, that's the picture that's drawn for us, that amid the wreckage of this world, in the face of the coming of Christ, in wrath, as the passage has it, there are those who are not afraid. They're not like the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and so on, who try to hide in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and who say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. They're not afraid. They're at peace as these things come to pass. Able to look beyond these terrifying events to something better. They stand in hope, therefore, as all these things are fulfilled. They are not moved. And the idea is even that somehow or other, they survive these events. When the majority, they're described there in verse 15, great and small, rich and poor, bond and free, the majority do not survive these events. And all of that raises the question of verse 17, who shall stand? Who are those that are unmoved when the judgments of God are revealed in this world and when the Lamb comes again in all of his anger as the judge of heaven and earth? Who are these? They must be few. Who are these who are not afraid when the sun becomes black and the moon blood red and when the stars fall from their places? Who stand in the middle of these events? Stand not just unconcerned, but stand in hope. The hope of something better which lies beyond all of this. Well, the answer to that question is found, first of all, in the fact that those who stand are standing by the grace of God. Really, you know, the answer to that question of verse 17 is, first of all, no one. The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The answer is, first of all, nobody at all, except those who belong to Jesus Christ, who stand by themselves, not stronger than others, stronger in spirit, if not in body, but who stand solely and completely by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. I want to call your attention to a few verses that in 1 Peter 5, 1 Peter 5, verse 12, where Peter, concluding his epistle, says, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. Grace. If a person doesn't stand in grace, he's not going to be standing at all when these things happen. Another verse is 1 Corinthians 15. That chapter, as you know, describes the resurrection of the dead and the end of the world also. In the very first verse of 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul says, through the inspiration of God's Spirit, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. So standing is standing in grace and standing in the gospel, in those great truths of the gospel that bring us the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, of his perfect finished work, and of our part and place in him by faith. Standing is standing in the gospel. But, and that's the other verse, there are others we could read, but Philippians 4 verse 1 really emphasizes what that's about when it talks about standing in the Lord. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Standing in grace, standing in the faith, standing in the gospel are all really different ways of standing in Christ. That's a description of believing in Christ, but emphasizes the fact that we, when we are in Christ and believe in him by faith, then we're strong, unmoved, can face the events of the end without fear, and will, in Christ, survive all that must yet come to pass. That's standing. In fact, that word emphasizes especially the fact that in Christ we are justified and our sins forgiven us. Perhaps to read just one more passage, perhaps we should remember what Psalm 130 says about standing. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And the Word of God is talking there about the fact that our sins, by the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, are forgiven us, and we justified before God, that he looks on us and will look on us in that great day of judgment as those who for Christ's sake and for the sake of his blood have no sin. That's standing. And that's emphasized in a very beautiful way. First of all, here in these last verses of Revelation 6, and then again, in chapter 7. Chapter 6, I'm sure you noticed that as we read the chapter, speaks of the end of the world, of the coming of Christ, of the judgment that must follow, but describes Christ as the Lamb. And that's Scripture's way of reminding us that there is really just one reason why anyone will stand unmoved, stand in hope, stand unafraid, even of the great day of judgment when Christ comes again, and that's Christ crucified. Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Christ, the sacrifice and atonement, providing himself for the sins of his people. I find that one word, Lamb, in these last verses of Revelation 6, to be like a ray of light shining through horrible description and horrifying description of what must happen when the end of the world comes, of what happens when God's judgments destroy finally the very world in which we live. And when unbelieving and wicked, for all their pride now, are humbled and brought low and can only think of hiding from the face of Christ, the Lamb. What a in these six verses. In the darkness that these verses describe as the only light and comfort to God's people in the middle of all of these events. Who shall stand? Well, the answer is, first of all, the Lamb and those who belong to him. But I asked another question too at the beginning and suggested that this question must not be just an abstract question. But really has to be taken to heart by each one of us so that we each ask ourselves, am I among those who stand? Will I stand when these things come to pass? And even, how can I be sure in the face of such awful judgments that I will stand? And I want to emphasize the fact, too, that that question is real. My response to that question may not be, well, I might not even be there. Christ's coming may be yet so many years in the future that I'm gone from this world before he comes again and before the end of the world comes around. So I don't need to bother about that, especially if I'm 66 years old and don't have long to live in this world. I don't have to worry about the question, will I stand? And how will I know that I'll stand? Because the fact is, and I want you to understand that too this morning, I think it's especially important that we understand that this morning, as we celebrate together the beginning of the new year, you must understand that what Revelation 6 describes with the opening of the sixth seal, even though it's very clearly a description of the end of the world, has already begun. You, everyone, is living already in the middle of these events. Revelation 6 describes what's going to happen. Come rushing to their final conclusion, but they've already begun. The day that's described in Revelation 6 isn't going to begin somewhere in the future, but it began when Christ was crucified. Now, Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. And if you think about that, you can see that too in connection with the events that are described. The very first thing that's talked about is a great earthquake. But are not earthquakes always part of God's judgment on this world? Are they not always signs of Christ's coming? Is not every earthquake, every tremor, every great earthquake part of that shaking that's the result of Christ's coming, the sound of his footsteps, if you will, that great shaking that will finally shake everything to pieces? If there's an earthquake, probably be many of them in the year ahead, then that's the way that you must think of them. Not as an isolated event, but as part of that shaking that's described at the end of Hebrews 12, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's how you have to look at earthquakes. The text speaks of the blackening of the sun. But is not every storm a sign of Christ's coming? Is not every storm part of the fulfillment of what Psalm 18 describes? Jehovah coming on the clouds for the salvation of his people, but also as the judge of heaven and earth. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. So the next time it storms, then think of Revelation 6 and of Psalm 18 and of the coming of Christ and of the fact that all that happens in this world belongs to God's coming in judgment as the Savior of his people. And then ask that very personal question. Who shall be able to stand? Am I among those who stand? How do I know, as these things are already coming to pass, that I stand and will stand? Well, the answer is really very simple, especially the answer to that last question. How do I know? And the answer is this, that I'm standing now. Who shall be able to stand? Those who are standing now in Christ, in the gospel, in the faith, who stand in hope, who are not now afraid of him who is the judge of heaven and earth, who welcome him when they think of his coming as the Lamb of God who has taken away their sins by the sacrifice of his body on the tree of the cross, who see in all the events of history, in everything that happens in creation, not something to fear, but find in those things reason for hope. And who hears in all that's happening the sound of Christ's footsteps, the Christ who is for them the Lamb. But that's why it's so important, too. As the Apostle Paul puts it, that you and I, living here and now, not be moved from what Paul calls the faith of the gospel, that we by prayer, by hearing the word of God, by giving diligent attention to the word of God, by believing in Jesus Christ and praying every day again, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief, that we stand now and not take that foolish, foolish attitude. I'll live as I please now, and as I see these things coming to pass, then I'll change my way. Then I'll walk with Christ. Then I'll stand by faith in him. The answer to that question for me personally and for you personally is another question, really. Are you standing now? Standing, as Philippians 4, verse 1 has it, in the Lord. Standing in him in him as the one who owns you. Body and soul, owns everything you have, owns everything you are as Lord of all. You see? Quite a question that Revelation 6, verse 17 asks. But not ever an abstract question. Question rather that you and I must take to heart. And I tell you, beloved, and leave you with that this morning. If you're standing in the middle of these events that have already begun, but standing in the gospel, standing in the faith, standing in the Lord, and there is no other standing place, then you'll be like those whom Jesus describes in Luke 21. When these things begin to come to pass, and they have, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. When persecution comes, when this world becomes even more threatening than it already is, when wicked men become worse and worse, and it's hard to imagine that they can become any worse than they already are, when they threaten the very existence of the church, of the family, of marriage, of your children, threaten your life and well-being here in the world, then you must stand. And standing means that instead of being dismayed, like the people who are described in Revelation 6, you look up and lift up your heads. And do so because you see in everything that great truth of Luke 21, verse 28, your redemption draweth nigh. The Lamb will soon be here. God grant it. Amen.